what you see, what you bleed, is what will be. So sad, so weak, you can fly. What's your mountain much too high? Speak the word of God, and by it will move, or you will fly. So stand, so set your wings to the winds of faith.
Talking this morning about how a man thinketh in his heart. You didn't know that. Did I tell you that?
No.
I told a couple of people. I think they were older people that I told. Colossians, where we were. We're gonna stay with that theme, and then we're gonna explore from that. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That walk is your action. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Everybody say, abounding.
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 Abounding. You want to abound in him?
Amen.
Or you just want to have just enough? Let's abound in him. We can. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I love how we're tying Godhead here. This is very free this morning. Just a little side note, caveat, we're tying Godhead to being complete in him. That is imperative. Because if you want to say, I'm complete in Christ, but maybe God wants to judge me, you don't get to do that. Because he is the fullness of the Godhead. He is the expression of the heart of God. So if we're abounding in Christ, and if we're complete in Christ, then everything that God is in him.
Amen.
We believe that?
Amen.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That's good message doctrine right there that other Christians just don't believe what we do. And it's amazing to know that all that God was, he poured into Christ who died for you and I.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we long to walk in you, to be rooted and grounded and established in this faith. That's why we're here. For this camp and for this week, Lord. That's why we're here this morning. Pray, Lord, that you would, Father, that you would water the root systems that these young men and women have already begun in their lives, Lord, that they would be watered, that they would be strengthened, Lord God, that those roots would grow and grow deep, Lord God, that they would hold them through the hard times, and that, Father, that you would teach us that we might abound in you. And we're so thankful, Father, that all that you are, you poured into Jesus Christ, and that we know you, Lord, now as a man that we can know, that we can fellowship with, who understands every temptation and every hurt. You are our kinsman, redeemer, and we're so grateful, Father. Teach us now by your loving grace. Let your presence be welcome in our midst. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. All right. So, as we talked about yesterday, experience and do. And we want to have the experience, but then there's also things that we're going to step up, and it's not works righteousness because we're complete in him. That's why we're tying these things together. Our completeness is in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean that we just sit around like helpless saps waiting for God to come and give us an anointing. And it's not strength by anointing, it's strength by the word. The word produces anointing, and that's great, but it's the word of God that comes into our heart, and we're going to continue to develop this thought of the word of God coming into our heart, culminating Thursday morning. We're going to really get into that, what that means, what that looks like, how that applies. We're going to try to be very, very practical for the next three services. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen.
Or do you just want theory that you can forget about?
First one.
David wants the first one.
First one.
Brother Mark wants the first one, which means all the men want the first one.
Yes.
Sisters, theory you can forget about later, practicality that you can do and you can grow and you can serve him and please him who's called you to be a queen. Change that from a soldier to queen, but you know the scripture. Amen? Okay, so we're going to keep your Bibles very handy. We're going to have a Bible study of sorts. I think that there's going to be some concepts here that are going to, as we say, blow your mind, and I'm excited about that because I always love to do that. Makes me feel smart. It's all about me. No, it's not. But we have some concepts that are buried in the Word that the prophet has come and shown us that are just like, these are revolutionary ideas that we have in this day, and it's an amazing thing. So I would like you to turn to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Is it hot in here?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, feel bad about this then.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. When's the last time you thought with your heart? Brother Branham says in the message, Second Coming out of 1955, there's such a thing as an intellectual faith. Here a few weeks ago in Chicago, I heard something that was on the radio. It just thrilled my heart. When he said that, here's what it said, a man, as a man thinketh in his heart, and the scientists said that God got everything mixed up. There was no mental faculties in the heart to think with. He just thinks with his mind. His mind was the only thing he thinks of, and not with his heart, with his mind. But God said, here, consider it. He said heart. He meant heart. And a few weeks ago, medical science found in the center of the human heart is a teeny little place that don't have blood cells or anything around it. And they claim it's the occupation of the soul. Animals doesn't have it. After all, God was right. Man thinks with his heart. Now, as we all know, that was 1955 medical science, and it's now 2023, and things have changed, right? I mean, don't nod your head at that part. Yeah, it's okay. I get people with it all the time. It's a good thing you're not on the very front row. I'd step on your toes. No, medical's like, I don't care if medical science has changed. You were right. Medical science has changed since 1955. That's what you were saying. But that doesn't mean that the medical science on this point, like, I don't care what the medical science on this point says. God said, as a man thinketh in his heart. God meant, as a man thinketh in his heart. And we know this to be true, even though we try to be all science-y, and the devil would like to say, see, the Bible, the message, it's not, see, it's not very scientific. And so you should probably reject these old archaic forms of religion.
Come on.
My apologies to British people everywhere. But we know this actually is true. We know that a man thinketh in his heart, because when we begin to commit something to memory, and, you know, we say things like, I know it so well, I know it like the back of my hand. That's an expression that we have, right?
Yep.
Because, and the idea there, bring you up to speed, if you're not sure, like, is because you see the back of your hand a lot, because it's there. See how that works? Okay, so you should know things like the back of your hand. And so we use that as an expression for how well we know something, but there's other expressions for how well we know something too, isn't it? Like, so if you've committed to something to memory, you've committed poetry to memory, you've committed a musical piece to memory, you say, I know it by...
heart.
I know it by heart. That's... No. What you mean is you know it by brain. But we don't... Like, said no one ever, I know it by brain. Have you heard that expression? I've never heard that expression, no. But yet, and especially when it's something like poetry or something like music, it's something that you connect to at a deeper level than, you know, there's things I know by brain that just, yeah, they have nothing, like, it's just not, there's no connection there. But there's things like that that we're talking about that you've memorized, that you committed to memory, and they're moving to you emotionally, they move you, and it's these things that we say, I know it by heart. Because there's a connection between knowledge and heart. And if your knowledge isn't connected to your heart, you've got real problems. Because then you're just, I do this and I do that. And it's like, I'm just basically a robot because I have no emotions. I have no feelings. I have no, like, I'm just doing things because my brain says, go do this. Now brain says, go do this. And I'm not connected to it in any way.
Yeah.
What a terrible way to live.
That's right.
So if there's no heart connected with knowledge, then we're just, man, that's not cool. That's not fun. That's not other 2023 relevant sayings for something good. Am I right? Are we together this morning?
Amen.
Did anybody else get more than 3 hours of sleep? You guys are blessed. I just don't know why my body woke up at 5 a.m. But it did. Pray for me. Anyway, Psalm 73. We'll read verse 1, even though I put verse 1 through 5. So I'm going to turn there too, because maybe there's something in 2 through 4 that I wanted to read. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I want. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart.
Amen.
Anybody ever seen a heart transplant surgery or something like that? Is it clean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of bloody. We wouldn't, sorry to be gross, but like we wouldn't call that clean, right? So what does that mean? How is your heart clean? Well, it's not a physical thing, is it?
No.
Your heart is clean because there's conscience, there's emotions, there's all of these things. As we look at the heart, and I'm not just talking about the heart as in the emotion of man, as in the spirit of man being the middle of the man, you know, and then the soul on the inside of that. But we're literally talking about your actual pumping organ, heart, that there's something in there that God wants to come on the inside of, and he can come on the inside of it. And that can be the center of emotion, can be the center of your heart, and of all that you are, and all that you would want to be comes out of that and is breathed out of that. And so we can have a clean heart, and we can also have a dirty heart. Is that right? But how? It's not like... And science, you know, the Bible got that wrong again, as science would say. Your heart can't be clean or dirty. Actually, it's a very sterile environment, your heart, and you can...
Come on.
No, you can have a clean heart, you can have a dirty heart. And this is very... This is just obvious to everyone.
Amen.
And science wants to get us to doubt the Bible because of these things. Right?
That's right.
And so, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I should probably reorganize this one, but you're turning there, so we're going to read it. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Just say amen when you have it.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to read it from my notes, because you all turn there faster. Oh, I'm almost there. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We'll start with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So love thinks no evil. Yeah, now I got it. I know I use this one now.
Come on.
It's early. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Okay. So love doesn't think evil.
Amen.
Mr. Love, Miss Love, are you thinking good thoughts right now? Who am I talking to? Like, there is no entity that is love. What entity is love that it is capable of thinking? Your heart.
Amen.
Your heart. Love in your heart, not love in your brain. Look, brothers, sisters, I've said this many, many times. Like, love is not, science wants to tell you, see, love is chemical reactions in your brain. You
Come on.
Saw one another, and the chemical synapses in your brain were, you know, fired and were attracted to the sparkle in their eyes. And sisters, that's what it is. That's what love from guys is. It's they saw you and chemical synapses. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. Does that sound good to you all? You appreciate it? Nope, you want it to be more. You want love thinking from their heart. You want love thinking from somewhere else other than just their brain. You want there to be something more, something deeper, something tangible but yet intangible. Something that has substance but yet there's no substance. Just like love thinketh no evil. Love thinks, and love thinks not in the brain. Love thinks in the heart. And so we're going somewhere. We're just trying to set a platform because we want to watch our thoughts. Because their thoughts are coming from our heart. And we need to make sure that our heart is receiving these good thoughts. That this brain and heart connection, that it's good and it's healthy. And that the thoughts that your brain is thinking and the thoughts that your heart are thinking are in sync with one another. Okay? So Romans 12:3. Oh, brothers. I'm sorry to do this to you on a Tuesday morning. It's going to be hard, but I'm with you. I just want you to know. Romans 12, verse 3. Sisters, it's okay. You can turn there too. But for I say this through the grace given to me. Oh, thank you, Paul, for telling us that you needed grace to say this. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
Amen.
Oh, man, and that's hard when you're in front of the mirror. But I'm sure it can happen over here too, sisters, so it's okay. So not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. To think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So are you helpless saps in your thoughts?
No.
If God is commanding you to think soberly, then that means that God has already placed within you the ability to obey his commands.
Amen.
God doesn't ask you to do things that he created you without the ability to do.
Right.
He doesn't ask you to do things that are impossible, but he asks you to do things he's already given you the tools and the means to be able to do. You just need to put yourself under subjection to the word of God and begin to walk and to begin to grow and to begin to become rooted and established in the faith. And so if God's commanding you to think soberly, that means that you can think soberly, that you ought to think soberly. And so then you need to then what is sober thinking? And we're not talking about alcohol sober here. We're talking about the ability to frame thoughts that are grounded in reality and not just to be flighty and over here and over there. And I'm just always like, I don't know. What does not sober thinking look like in your life? But we have that. We have these, like, we're always off and we're doing amazing things in our lives, and it's just like, oh, and or we're sitting there thinking of, you know, what do you got? We're thinking about him, whoever him is. You know, he may not actually exist other than in your mind, but you're thinking about him. Like, that's not sober thinking, sisters, you know, brothers. I don't know if she exists either, but to like, you know, man, what have you spent the last 2 hours doing? Well, I was thinking about her. Who's her? Bro, she doesn't even exist. Like, you've created this girl in your mind, and she's so godly, and she's so beautiful, and she's a 10 on every single level. I mean, I hope she exists, but come on. You haven't met her yet. She probably has a fault or two. Sorry, sisters, but you know we're metaphorically speaking, and they're not all 10s either.
I already married her.
Huh?
I already married the 10.
Well said, sir. Well said. Sober thought right there, because it's grounded in some reality and not just off in la-la land in fantasy and world. Right? So think soberly. Does that mean we can never have fun? Does that mean we can never have a joke? No, that's not what God is asking. But God is asking you to, at the very least, have some sober thoughts.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And some of us don't. Often, at least. Okay, I'll give you some credit. Okay? So we begin to see that there's agency here in our thinking, and we need to have active participation in even our own thoughts.
Amen.
You say, well, where did that thought come from? I don't know. Like, where does thinking come from? I thought it came from the brain, but now I'm thinking maybe it comes from the heart. Maybe there's some, I don't know. Like, we're not going to dive into that, all that psychology or anything like that, But we begin to understand that you have agency in this, and you can, because we're going to read in a moment that we're going to be able to take every thought captive.
Amen.
That we're going to cast down imaginations. Well, that means that the ability of your will to analyze your own thoughts and turn them on or off, to allow them to continue or not. You see, in the little tabernacle yesterday morning, I heard a little bit about this. Brother John Singer, I don't know if you were 10 and you were in that, you know,
I was
10 years ago, but you, Brother John Sanger, maybe you've seen, he does all of these powerful illustrations. I don't think he's done an Ed Sheeran mask yet, but, or a Lauren Daigle, but, where's Lauren Daigle? Why is she? Okay, that's fine. We'll forgive Lauren Daigle. It's really expensive to get her here, but, Brother John has these powerful illustrations, and so there he is with these 10-year-olds, and he begins to put, like, he's got a hat, and then they're going to build this, they got a bird that's building this nest on this hat, because this bird is building, you know, a nest of thoughts in the person's mind. And does a bird build a nest, or does the bird swoop by and suddenly there's a nest there?
It builds it.
It builds a nest piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, dear Jesus, like, and I'm speaking on kind of the same thing tomorrow, and this is amazing. So a bird comes by, and he puts a piece down. So your thoughts become, you know, like they collect. And we can have these vicious cycles, don't we? Right? I think one thing, and then I think another thing, and then I feel bad that I think that thing, and then I think another thing, and then I feel bad that I think that thing, and now I'm just feeling bad because I think things, and then, and now I don't even know, like, how to think, and then now am I helping somebody this morning?
Come on.
No? Right? And this is the building of the nest. The nest is building, and then the bird is going to come to roost. But you can, okay, so now we got to take the whole nest and the bird, and we got to feel bad because now the poor birdie, you know, we got to get rid of him, you know, whereas when the first one came, if we just knocked the branch away and then the bird came back, it's like, yo, what gives? And he puts another one down and you knock it away, and he's like, come on. And he puts another one down and you knock it away, and suddenly the bird does what?
Leave.
Finds another hat. Because this one ain't working. And then you don't have to feel so sorry for that poor birdie, and then have these, then you get another nest because you felt sorry that you knocked the nest. Am I helping somebody this morning?
Come on.
See, we do this, but we have agency. We can knock the sticks away. We can take the straw, we can take the mud, and we can say, no, you're not nesting here. But that means that you recognize your own ability to recognize your own thoughts and to determine, are they in agreement with the Word of God or not? Because if you allow lies of lies to collect as this nest in your mind, and now you've got, you know, there's one lie, and now there's three, and now there's 10, and now there's a whole nest of them with a bird sitting on top of them going, hey, don't move me, I'm going to lay some eggs soon.
Yep, come on.
And all of these are lies.
That's right.
They're not in agreement with the Word of God. Now you've got this thing going on, and that's a problem.
Amen.
And you've allowed it to happen, but it shouldn't be there because it doesn't agree with the Word of God. And so we've got to capture these things with our own ability that God, through His grace, has given to us. And it's not like He's not going to help us. It's not like the still small voice isn't going to go, hey, there's a stick up there. He probably doesn't sound like that for you, but speaking of which, what does the still small voice sound like?
Mm-hmm. See ya. This is the still small voice.
Does it sound like that? Does it sound like that for you? You've never heard that? Apparently the Holy Spirit hasn't been speaking to her. No! What's that? It'd be nice if it was that clear. I want you to just say something in the microphone. You can literally say just something in the microphone, that's fine.
Just something.
Yeah, let's see. Do you know what the still small voice sounds like to Sienna? What you just heard. Our thoughts, the Holy Spirit, He's not coming in. And it's like, how do you divide when it's the still small voice and it's your own thought? It's a difficult process because there isn't, like she said, I wish it was that clear. It would be nice.
Samuel, it's the still small voice speaking to you. You need to do such and such.
Man. We'd have this Christian thing down, right? We would be powerful believers, but it doesn't work like that because then we actually wouldn't be believers. We would merely just be doers.
Yeah.
Because it would be so easy. There would be no process of faith. There would be nothing like, what are you believing in?
Well, I just know that there's this voice that comes in my head. And when it tells me to do something, I recognized it was a good idea. And so I just started doing it. Because facts.
Right? So you begin to recognize the good thoughts. You begin to recognize this is the process that you have. And you begin to recognize when it's my thoughts, when it's a lie, when it's not in agreement with the Word of God, which, by the way, we'll get to it, but if you're going to detect whether your thoughts are in agreement with the Word of God, there's something you're going to have a general working knowledge of the Word of God. Read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Hey, read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll be able to think good thoughts. It helps. It really helps. Yes. Right? It's not just a Sunday school song. The Sunday school song was to prepare adults.
Amen.
Right. It's not just a Sunday school verse that says, you shall know the truth. Know. Here and here.
Amen.
The truth. And the truth shall set you free. It's not just a five-year-old Sunday school verse. But you learned it as a five-year-old in Sunday school because it was like, we know that by heart now. Because we needed a very emotional connection to that verse because that's such a guiding principle to make sure that our lives are in agreement and free because we have the Word of God to set us free. So why wouldn't we allow it to actually set us free? Because it can. But if we're not using it in its intended way, then it's not able to do that. So we need to be thinking the things of the Word of God. Now you need to turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
So what have you been thinking on?
These things.
Have you been thinking about what you're thinking about? You need to start thinking about what you're thinking about. You need to start being aware of your thoughts. You need to start recognizing I'm not a helpless thought, thinking, sad. But that I have ability to recognize and direct my own thoughts. Or, if I don't, my thoughts will run away and direct me. right? Because there's a quote here. I was going to end with it, but we need to bring it in right now. Brother Branham, in the message, hear ye him in many other places. If I should start thinking the wrong thoughts, Lord, will you just change my way of thinking? Let me think the right things. What you think is usually what you do. Mm-hmm. Is it important to think the right things?
Yes.
Okay. You know, if you'll do right, that's your duty to God. If you'll think right, that's your duty to yourself.
Amen.
And you can't do your duty to God until you've done the right thing, your duty to yourself. Because what you think is what you do. Your duty to yourself is to think right, which produces your duty to God, which is to do right.
Amen.
If you'll think right, that's your duty to yourself, and you've got to come out right. You can't be going east when you're going west. You can't be going wrong when you're going right, or vice versa. Think right, do right, and you'll be right. So again, we'll just take this moment to say, thank God for anointed services. Thank God for fiery preaching. Thank God that we go to an altar and we get anointed, we get delivered of things. And thank God that God can supernaturally solve problems in our lives. But we're not asked to just get in good services so that you become right. We're asked to think right, do right, and you'll be right. So we're still back onto experience. You need the experience. You need the born-again experience. God absolutely has to come and in a supernatural way change your heart and give you a literal experience of a rebirth. Literal supernatural. You follow my thought here. Like it's something that's tangible that's happened. You can't touch it, see it, taste it, feel it. But there's a tangibility in the spiritual realm of it. Right? That's got to happen for you. But once that's happened for you, now it's time for you to grow. Now it's time for you to think right. Now it's time for you to take the word of God and let the power of that word of God come and set you free and strengthen you in ways you never thought possible. And again, we're talking about expanding our vision, but we can't expand our vision and become, you know, these amazing servants of an almighty God, these amazing kings and priests for Almighty God, if we're like, God wants to use you, but I'm thinking about Mario Brothers. Let's go. Like, I'm not saying you can't ever, right? But again, whatsoever things are,
good.
Can we go over it again? You've got it in front of you still, maybe? I don't. I'll scroll back up.
I do.
Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul is not only commanding you, but it's not just a command. It's not just like, look, you want to be a Christian? Think on things that are true. Think on things that are just. Think on things that are good report. Think on things that have virtue in. All the things that I just read that I can't just rattle off because I don't know it by heart. Like I should probably. Right? It's not just do it. Think on these things. You evil people that want to come into my kingdom of heaven. That's not the heart of God for you, is it? But Paul, not only is he commanding, but he's also giving you a way to be successful and abound in Christ. Amen? So this is what I'm saying. Like, so there's experience that we start with, and then there's doing, and the doing isn't so much that, okay, I'm going to go do amazing things for God. No, what I'm going to do is the small things that God has asked me to do that are going to make me successful in Him. So we're going to despise not the day of small things, as it says in the day of Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah. And I have another quote somewhere, since that's just come to me, where Brother Branham's talking about, look, if you're not faithful in the little things, we know you're not going to be given the big things. If you don't accept small revelations that God has given you, He's not going to give you very large revelations. He says that in the Church Age book. So if God's saying, hey, I would like you to start thinking the right things. I want you to be successful. I love you. I want you to be children. I want you to grow and flourish in me, and I want you to bear my name faithfully and as you're called, and it to be a wonderful thing. I've got a small thing I need from you. I need you to I need you to do right, and in order for you to do right, I need you to start thinking right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Nudge your partner and say, wake up. No. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, not as fiery as maybe we like to have our preaching in the mornings, but
come on.
But this is good stuff, right? This is going to help you. So if you can't think right, if you can't begin to say, okay, God, I want to have the right kind of thoughts. I want to begin to take these thoughts captured. I want to make sure that the lies are just getting flicked off. I can't help that I thought the lie, but I can help what I do with it. And I don't have to continue to think it. And as you grow, and as you begin to think the right thoughts, as the pure thoughts come, unto the pure all things are?
Pure.
Man, I struggle, Brother Trevor. There's things that I know they're not pure. It's like, are you thinking pure thoughts?
Come on.
Are you allowing impure thoughts to just sit there and, look, we live in a day, we're getting bombarded by thoughts all the time. It's hard. I'm not, like, that's why I'm bringing this to you. I know that it's hard. I know that this is a challenge. But it's also something that we never think about that we can become good at. Amen. And this is what God is asking us to do. So as young adults sitting here in this 19 and up, this is what we're challenging you to do is take this step. Take a step up in. Take a step and recognize that God, when he asks me to do it, he's also given me ability to do it. So why don't I do it?
Amen.
All right? So it's important then that we think these right thoughts because we can begin to, like as we started, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we understand that the mind is there, the heart is there, these things kind of in some crazy way that we can't even scientifically explain are tied together by thought. And so it's important then that if you have pure thoughts coming in, because we said you can have a clean heart or you can have a dirty heart, right? So can you have as these thoughts come in, you can have clean thoughts which cleanse your heart. You can have dirty thoughts which make your heart dirty, and that's kind of important, right? Yeah. It's very important. I wanna go through some medical science to show you some things that this is the part where I think this is gonna blow your mind. When we come to the subject of a heart transplant, which is very, very, it's a very odd thing because now it's like, wait, man, think of this heart. And then that heart goes to someone else because of a heart transplant. And thank God for heart transplants and medical science. It's a wonderful thing. It truly is. So then all the thoughts that other person thought that are part of their heart thoughts, what happens to them? That's a head scratcher, isn't it? There's a woman by the name of Claire Sylvia. She wrote a book about this. She received a heart transplant, and after she received the heart transplant, she had cravings for beer, chicken nuggets, and green peppers. She never liked these things before, but after she received a heart transplant, and I'm just pretty sure that... yeah, that person must have thought about beer and chicken nuggets and green peppers a lot. And that it was a very, like, visceral connection that they had in their heart. Right? Wow. There was a foundry worker, 47-year-old foundry worker, received the heart of a 17-year-old student. Discovered after the operation that he had developed a fascination for classical music. He reasoned since his donor should probably, because of being a young person, preferred rap or rock music or something like that. His newfound love for classical music could not possibly have had anything to do with his new heart. As it turned out, the donor actually loved classical music and died hugging his violin case on the way to his violin class. So this person that died and this other guy got the heart, like obviously he's hugging his violin case. There's a strong bond to this thinking, right? And so it was so strong that it came down into the heart. So strong that then that heart goes to someone else and they now love classical music. That's pretty crazy, right?
Amen.
Okay, there's a reason I'm saying these things, right? Okay, we're gonna find there. 8-year-old girl who received the heart of a murdered 10-year-old girl began having recurring vivid nightmares about the murder. Her mother arranged a consultation with a psychiatrist who, after several sessions, concluded that she was witnessing actual physical incidents. They decided to call the police, who used detailed descriptions of the murder, the time, the weapon, the place, the clothes he wore, what the little girl he killed had said to him, given by the little girl to find and convict the man in question. I think that moment, as that was happening to that little girl, had a strong connection to the heart, right? This one I had just read about. This one's, well, we're just going to go there because it's 2023. There was a woman who decided she was gay, and she received a heart transplant. And then she was like, I don't know how I'm not gay anymore. Why the laughing guy has to be so close to the camera? God bless you, everyone watching. All right, so we're just going to combat a little bit of gender theory right now. This case, obviously, like, why? Because this woman had been thinking about it so much, right? It wasn't because she was born that way. It was because that she had a pattern of thinking that came and it began to do things to her heart. The pattern of thoughts changed this woman's very heart, and then when she received a new heart, that pattern was no longer there anymore.
Amen.
Wow.
Come on.
A little girl who was murdered, and this other girl receives her heart, and they can convict someone else. The thoughts that you think are so powerful that it becomes imprinted in that little hole inside of your heart that science says you don't think actually in your heart, but yes, you do. And it comes, and the thinking that you do is so powerful that it impacts your heart to where if your heart went to someone else, it would change their very life in powerful ways. So how important is it then for your heart that you have a pattern of godly, pure, virtuous, good things and all honesty, all of those thoughts? If you allow that kind of thinking in your mind, what does that do to your heart? That's powerful. And then when your heart begins to say, I want to do good things for Christ, there's power that you've given to it because you've thought the words of God. You've thought things that are great, going to bring great power and authority in your life that are not going to be merely mental things coming out of your brain saying, you know, devil, I cast you out in the name of Jesus, or I'm going to do this because, okay, I know it's right and I'm supposed to. But those thoughts, the pattern of thinking that's from the Word of God will sink down into your heart to where your heart will think clean thoughts. That love will think no evil. It won't be just your brain. It will be your very heart and desire that God is literally changing within your very being. And what this does is it takes it from the mental. This, you know, Brother Branham said that we, in the Laodicean Church Age, he said, we live in, well, he's talking about the Laodicean Church Age. Anyway, he says it in the Church Age book in a different chapter about the Laodicean Church Age. But he says, we're living in a nervous, complex age that we seem ill-suited to live in. And that's true. It's a you know it to be true. This is a nervous and complex age, and your minds are being bombarded with this thought and that thought, and then you have the repercussion of I thought that thing and now I'm dealing with the thinking of that thing, and now I feel bad that I'm dealing with the thinking of the thinking.
Come on.
It's a nervous, complex age. It's hard. I get it. But again, that's why the Spirit of God is here this morning and using me as the gift that He's put in my life to help instruct you, to pull you out of that nervousness, out of that complexity, to start saying, hey, I recognize that I have agency and I can think the right thoughts, because the Apostle Paul told me that the things that are just and pure and lovely and good report and honest, and if there's virtue and praise, I should think on those things. If he told me to, I can. So I'm going to recognize and analyze my thoughts and begin to strengthen the muscle of thought analytics that God gave me to recognize the word of God or not the word of God, to recognize purity or not purity, love or not love, and to say, no, I'm not thinking those things because I'm protecting my heart because I want the goodness of God down to come into my heart, that now my heart and my very being are thinking those things, not from here, but from here, and it changes it. It's way more visceral. It's way more powerful than just the mental. And this is the fearfully and wonderfully God made you with amazing capabilities. Brother Mark was talking to us, to the guys about, you know, like you're more powerful guys than you think. You can actually lift a car off of somebody. Yep. It's just that you need the adrenaline and you need things to override the I might hurt myself response.
That's right.
But people have lifted cars off of someone else to save them in an emergency or ripped doors off and things like that. He knows it because he's a cop. I'm a web developer. I don't experience those things. But so do you have the capabilities that you have yet to unlock in your life, because then this is why we're talking about experience and then do. And now we want to come over into the do and to recognize the abilities that God gave us that can help us to have a successful walk with Him. But what you think is usually what you do. So think right, do right, and then you'll be right. Amen. So one of the main, if you want to abound in the faith, if you want to walk in Him, one of the first things that you should start to do is to start recognizing the thoughts, and not just merely the thoughts that you're having, but for sure the thought patterns. Does everybody know what I mean by a thought pattern? I've illustrated something. I thought a bad thing, and then I felt bad for thinking a bad thing, and then I felt bad for thinking bad about my thinking bad, and it's a pattern. Yeah. It's a cycle. It's a thing. You know, so-and-so said something, and then that made me feel down, and then because I felt down, then I felt like I had no faith, and because I felt like I had no faith, then I decided I needed to go kick something, and then I hurt my toe, and then...
Done that.
Right? You got like a whole 7-step process that you go down when one person says something. And then, like, okay. And then I went to bed, and I got up. It's like, each day is a new day. It's a bright morning. And then your brother or sister says something dumb. Cue thought pattern routine, number one. Oh man, he thought that, and now I thought he was a jerk, and then I kicked the wall because I thought I was stupid because I'm not a Christian, and then now my toe hurts, and now I don't have faith for divine healing. It's a thought pattern. And you all know that you have them. And they're not helping you. And it's because so many times that first thing is like, well, someone said something to you that wasn't true. You're a jerk. Well, hopefully that's not true. Hopefully you were really acting like a jerk, and there's a difference.
Amen.
Right? So a lie gets told, then you tell yourself another lie, then you tell yourself, but the word of God is quick and powerful, giving you the ability to discern in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But this is that is a skill, that is a strength that you need to build. So let's look at some of these other scriptures that we've been talking about. I'm just going to read some of them. For we carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. Right? Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober minded. There you go, guys. There's another one for you. Be sober. James 1:5-8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Stinks to be a double-minded man. Wish we could do something about that. But you can. Mm-hmm. But you can. You just simply be single-minded about the word of God. You simply choose the one that's true.
Right.
And the one that's true is the one that's God-breathed.
Amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 7, 20 to 23, he that said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. Man, you guys' hearts are powerful. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. But this is the process. Like, how did those things get as things from the heart? Well, you had to have these thoughts up here too. And there had to be all of these thought patterns and all of these things that were the wrong things you were thinking about that came down and defiled that heart, then defile your actions to actually defile you. Right? That it's now seen that the man is defiled. The woman is defiled. How did that happen? Well, because the heart. But how did it get into the heart? Well, it started here first. Right? There's that connection. We can't explain it. There's no science. But we know that it's true. So 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. I want you to turn to this one. And so I hope, what I really hope is that I hope this is encouraging to you.
Amen.
Because what I'm saying is that you can.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, and I know that this is a problem in many of our lives, but you can. You
Amen.
Can overcome this. You've been given the tools to overcome this. You just have to recognize and begin to work through this. Begin to analyze this. And don't create new patterns of thinking that's like really meta. It's like the human brain is a ridiculous place. Like, and we could be really meta and we can just be like, okay, now Brother Trevor has told me about these things. And so I want to get really good at thinking the right things. And then you don't think the right things, and then you feel bad because you heard a sermon about thinking the right things, and you still didn't do the right things, so now you feel worse about yourself because now you're thinking wrong things, and you heard a sermon about it, so you know better, and then... I want to tell you God loves you. I want to tell you that God is for you. That God is not just, told you to think the right things. He's there. A still small voice. That sounds like Sienna to Sienna. That sounds like Samuel to Samuel. It sounds like Thomas to Thomas. Is there. And he's helping you. He's enabling you. But he's asking you to step up into this thing as well. So don't feel like you're on your own and that if you don't do it right, now you're even more of a worse Christian. I left camp worse because I got told all of these things that I can do and I'm bad at it. Yeah, you're probably bad at it if you haven't been practicing this.
That's right.
But that's okay. But so think on things that are pure. Think on things that are true. That God loves me anyway. Think on things that are a good report. Continue. Like, what are you going to do? Get up in the morning and just give up? No. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace. I'm going to do it again, Lord. I'm going to continue to work on this. I'm going to continue to strengthen my life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 7. But we're only going to read 5, and I'm going to turn there because I have 5 and 7 in my notes. So, forgive me for a moment. Starting verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, come on, Paul, do we have to state things like that? We do not war after the flesh. You don't. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's mental strongholds that are in your lives right now. Some of you may have some really strong mental strongholds. Some of you maybe don't. I don't know where you're at. But there's mental strongholds, but through the power of God, and through the word of God, which is coming forth, because that's what I've been doing, reading quotes and reading scriptures and applying them, right?
Amen.
So the word of God is now coming, and it's pulling down these strongholds. Let him do that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. There's a problem, though, with strongholds. Some of us begin to love our strongholds. Is that the mind is a really crazy place. But some of us love our strongholds. That's why you've got to cast down an imagination, because it's not actually something that's going to help you. The reason you don't want to get rid of it is because you believe something about it that isn't true. And that's why we got to cast, it's an imagination. It's not the word of God. The word of God is true. The word of God casts down the stronghold if you're willing to allow it to come in and cast down the stronghold. But if you love your stronghold and you're not willing to cast it down, well, that's a problem. That's something that you're going to have to work through. That's something the Holy Spirit is dealing with you even right now. You know, as you think about the things in your thoughts and your thought patterns and the things that, oh, brother, I know where he's going. I know what Brother Trevor's trying to say about me. I know, and I, Brother Trevor, no, you don't understand. This thing, and I'm over here because I'm just going to say it happens a lot more to sisters than it does to brothers, although it does happen to brothers. But this thing that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with me on right now this morning, No, we're not going there. There's other things the Holy Spirit can deal with me on, but this thing, no, not doing it. I'm going to keep that firmly in place. Why are you here? Do you want to abound? You want to abound? Guys, you want to abound?
Amen.
Then let's abound. Amen. Then let's cast down imaginations. Even imaginations that we think, well, but that would be a really good thing if it were true. But it's not. So it's not a really good thing. So let's cast it down. Mm-hmm. And let's think the word of God. Let's put in its place. If we're Christ's, let's be Christ's. So casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, Zion, if you would come, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so I want to give you a simple illustration of, as I begin to do this in my own life, this whole process of trying to recognize my own thoughts and think. So I want to give you a silly example. So that you can, because that would be fun, and then you can laugh, and then some of you can wake up, especially if you're in the back row of the men. And some people take really late showers, and it shows. But, well, glory to God. It's just home camp, right? We're all together, and we love one another. So I was pulling out of the driveway one day, and passed by the mailbox, and I just began to think one morning on my way to work, oh man, there's the mailbox. Man, wouldn't it be nice if in that mailbox there was an envelope? And in that envelope there was a check. And on that check, it was made out to me. And it was for the amount of $1 million. Lord, what I would do with that $1 million. Because Lord, you know, Lord, the desire in my heart is, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be in full-time ministry, Lord. I don't want a job. I just want to be able to go wherever you want me to go, and I want to be able to preach. Because, you know how it is as a minister. Like, I want to be able to go wherever God wants me to go, obviously. And I need money to do that, because God certainly wouldn't just provide it if he actually wanted me to go. Yeah, he would provide it, right? But, like, again, you see a thought pattern that I had, right? God, I need $1 million fantasy so that I can do what you want me to do. Does that make sense? Lord, I could quit my job, I could go into full-time ministry. There's definitely some needs in Africa that I would definitely take care of. It's just really strongly on my heart. And there's just so many things that, Lord, I could really serve you. If I had that $1 million, I could. And then I started thinking, Trevor, are you an absolute idiot? Like, I literally spent 5 minutes, like, I can tell you, like, pretty much the spot in my, from the mailbox to where I told myself I was an idiot is about a 5 minute, somewhere around, give or take a couple minute drive. I thought about an imaginary check that's not actually gonna happen for 5 minutes.
Yep.
Did that help me throughout that day?
Sure.
Sure? No, it didn't help me. You're too close to the camera to be saying the wrong answers, man. That didn't help me. I mean, I think, brother, like, Trevor, like, what are you doing? Like, you're allowing yourself to think for 5 minutes a stupid, idiotic fantasy, like, to the point where I was literally, like, there's the mailbox, oh. And that mailbox was an envelope. And, I mean, was I making a poetry out of this thing? Like, oh, thou envelope, so white and with thine check, so signed and moneyed. Like, this is so dumb. Was any of that in accordance with Philippians 4:8?
No.
Did it help me? Or did it make my heart pensive? Did it reflect in me that I wasn't actually trusting God? Did it reflect, like it's exposing my thought patterns are exposing the condition of my own heart, so I want to change my thought pattern to strengthen the condition of my heart. And I begin to think, Trevor, you're looking for this $1 million, but Trevor, if you would actually stop thinking, like, why are you fantasizing about $1 million when your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine? Like, he owns it all, and he can, if he wants to send you, he'll provide the money. I'm preaching for myself again right now. Just bear with me for a moment there while I process what the Lord wants to tell me. Okay, we're good. glory to God. I apparently still need this. Like, and then I thought, I've spent so much time on this. Why am I not fantasizing about the provision of Almighty God? Because I want to ask you something. Which would you rather have, $1 million or the provision of Almighty God?
Provision of Almighty God.
Provision of Almighty God. That's what we'd rather have. That's... One sure seems easier though, Lord. If you could just provide it and I'll take control back. Because I feel like I'm not in control when I'm waiting for your provision. But which one's better? It's the provision. We know it, but then we know our thoughts want to drift to the fantasy of this, right? And that's what I'm talking about. So I began to take that thought capture, and every time I want to think that, I would say, no, God, I want to fantasize about your provision. I want to think about how wonderful your provision for me is. I want to think about how you can lead me and guide me and provide for me better than $1 million ever could. Why isn't that the thing that I go to work and I'm drinking my coffee going, provision of Almighty God, I am dwelling in the overflow. I'm living in abundance. Because I am the child of the great King. I am the child of the richest one in the universe.
Amen.
But I never think about it like that. Or I rarely think about it like that. And I think about a lot of other things. But that's truth. And if I thought about that, then the anxieties would flitter away about whether or not I have enough money. It's gone. All of these things go. Who I am? Well, I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a son of the King. Am I worthy enough? I said, Brother Trevor, I'm not worthy. No man is worthy. Can we turn to the scripture real quick? Can I have you turn to Revelation chapter 3? When you look at Revelation chapter 3, this is to the Sardisian age. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You ever feel like you're not worthy? God wants to walk with you in white, because you're worthy, because you're following him. God... And Brother Branham talks about this in the church age. It's just so beautiful. And why am I doing this? Because Brother Trevor, are you veering from your thought? No, I'm giving you good thought patterns. That's what I'm doing right now.
Amen.
Think about the provision of God. If you don't feel worthy, think about Revelation chapter 3, verses 4. And that God himself, he said, they're going to walk with me in white. And Brother Branham tells us that Most worldly kings, most worldly leaders, they dress themselves in reds, they dress themselves in purples, they dress themselves in... Look, when a worldly king walks down, when the Pope walks down, he is, because of his dress, is marked as distinction. The color, the hat, the whatever it is, marks that person for distinction. That everyone else around this particular piece of royalty, of whatever kind it is, looks different. Because this person, but with Jesus Christ and us, and because you share in his name, your own worthiness is matching his worthiness. Your own garments match his own garments. He will walk with you in white. You will be wearing white. He will be wearing white. Why? Because you're his bride. These are thought patterns. These are things that are true. Think on these things. Think sober things. Think good things. Think positive things because he's for you. He loves you. You live in an age, you live in a generation, you live in a culture that wants to bombard you with you're not good enough. Like, your gender isn't even the right one, man. Like, I mean, come on. Like, you weren't even born right. You gotta change everything about you. You gotta be tanner. You gotta be whiter. That was really a revelation to me in Africa. I had never seen billboards for whitening agents. In America, we have a lot of billboards for people that want to be darker. And then I went to Africa and I saw there's products for people to be whiter. Nobody's like, we're not happy, they're not happy, nobody's happy with what God gave them. Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow a little bit. We'll analyze our thought patterns about how we look and how we dress, and won't that be fun? Yeah. I don't recommend missing. It's going to be a good one.
Amen.
It'll help you abound. But it's these positive thought patterns. You are enough. God cares for you. God loves you. God's not asking you to change everything about you. He made you the way he made you because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what he said. He wants to come down on the inside, and he wants to strengthen your ability to capture your own thoughts and to think true things. He wants to strengthen your ability to walk and abound in him. He's for you and he loves you. What did I just say?
For you and he loves you.
I want everybody to say, he's for me.
He's for me.
For me.
He loves me.
He loves me.
Positive thought pattern. Not just positive like, I'm good enough. I'm important. Not just that. God loves you so much. He cares about your parking spot. Well, not Joel Osteen in this thing, right? But there's a truth there. He does love you.
Right.
He died for you. He cares about you. It's amazing how we go, well, yeah, he saved me, but like, I'm still pretty much lame sauce, and he doesn't really want me around very close. Cabin in the corner of heaven will be fine. It's probably all I'm worth. No, not at all. He wants you to be his bride. He wants you to be with him. These are positive thoughts. These are true things that we don't think about enough because, well, we don't want to be prideful after all. For me to say that I'm worthy, I just can't be doing that. Oh, why? Can't you say that? Because you just read it in the scripture that those who bear his name are worthy to walk with him in white. Amen. So why is it so wrong to think that you're worthy? Why is it so virtuous for Message young people? Come on, somebody. Why is it considered a virtue for Message young people to down their own selves and their own walks with God, to create some kind of, you know, virtue out of like, well, I'm just, you know, me, and I'm just so thankful for the grace of God, you know, and then I'm not good at anything.
Come on.
There's a truth there, yes. But he doesn't want to leave you there. He put a seed of God in you to grow and strengthen and to reproduce his own self. And as God reproduces his own self in you, that doesn't look like I'm such a loser. I can't do it. I'm unable. I'm dumb. I just thank him for the grace because... no, you're worthy. He loves you. He cares for you. You can't serve him, and you can't bring glory to his name through your own life thinking, well, I'm terrible, and I'm lame, and I can't do anything right. I'm always wrong, and I'm just so thankful for grace, because if it weren't for grace, I wouldn't have my little corner room where people want to forget about me in heaven, because that's all I'm worth. This is not virtuous thinking. This is not what God is. This is not the promises that we find in the Bible. That God didn't come and sacrifice himself merely to bring you to heaven, to place you in a corner because you were barely worth making it there. That's not what he's talking about. As you young brothers, you begin to value, and now I'm just, okay, now you give me 5 minutes here because it just hit me, and I don't like this thing. I don't like this patterns of thinking that we have about we are just nothing, and thank God we just barely get pulled into heaven by our shoestrings. I don't like it. Because it's not true. Because it's not what God is asking. And it's not what God is. That's not what God wants. So as you brothers, you begin to you know, start courting and start dating a young lady, right? And it's 2023. And some of you have heard this example, but I think it's one of the most beautiful things ever. So I'm going to go over it again. And so you guys start courting, you start dating, and then you find this girl that you really, really like. And so, you know, it's 2023, so you do 2023 things when you're going to go and you're going to propose. And how do you propose in 2023? How many cameras need to be there when you propose in 2023?
17.
Okay, we're somewhere between 1 and 17. You know, I don't know where that is. One of them needs to be a drone. you should probably have two friends in the bushes in various locations. You know, you've got to, you know, the big reveal, you know, that's got to be captured because it's 2023. You've got to have that. So just make sure you guys know that, right? So, you know, you have to have, but what you're going to do is, you know, because it's a simple proposal, you just can't do anymore. Please don't ask about mine. And ours was touching, but it was not a big production, right? But it's 2023. It's got to be a big production nowadays, right? So you're going to, you know, you got the place you normally go for a walk, and there's a clearing, and okay, we're going to have candles in the shape of a heart, and we have rose petals, and, you know, we have a pink picnic blanket, and like, so that you can surprise her when you get on one knee when she's got her back turned, because she'll have no idea that it's coming somehow with all of this setup. Still working on that one in my mind, how that works, but it somehow works, guys, so don't worry, just send it. Go full send. Full send. And so the idea then is why, and again, I'm just trying to give you good thought patterns here. We've talked about having the right kind of thoughts, identifying the thoughts, but I want to give you the thoughts and the heart of God for you right now so that you can begin to think about, yes, I'm worthy. Yes, he cares. Yes, he loves me. Yes, he wants to draw me unto himself. And if he wants to draw me unto himself and he does not dwell with things that are evil, that's a psalm. You can find that somewhere, that no evil shall dwell with him. If he wants to draw with me in to dwell with him, then I must not be evil. I must be a part of him to do that. And so these guys, you know, they begin to create this wonderful deal. And so you begin to think like, well, why does a guy create, you know, he spent months planning this and, you know, really trying to avoid saying outright things. So what are you planning? I'm nothing. I mean, I'm trying not to lie, but what's that over there? And he spent months trying to coordinate all of this, and he's got guys set up in the bushes, and he's got the drone pilot, and everything's going, you know, and why does he do all of that? Why does he create this elaborate setup? It's more than just so you can brag about it on social media, because if you'll have all the perfect images, and it'll be so touching. It's for that too. But it's not only for that. You know, it's 2023, they gotta help you with your expectations of what it looks like, right? So help us, Lord Jesus. But why does he go through all of this? What's the whole point of this big elaborate setup? And then he finally gets on one knee and he's like, hey, will you marry me? What is that whole, like, why does he do all of that?
For his bride.
What?
He wants her.
What's he communicating to you through all of this? What's it trying to say? I spent months planning. I spent way too many too much time and I spent way too much money. No, I didn't. I didn't spend too much time. I didn't spend too much money. I put through all this effort so that when I got on my one knee, not only would you just give me the answer I'm really hoping you give me. Oh, help us, Jesus. But what I'm communicating to you, young sisters, is that he is saying to you, you're so valuable. You're so special to me. I know sometimes you think you're not valuable, but I did all of this elaborate setup to communicate to you that I find value in you and that I hope that you would choose to be, that you would let that value that I find in you be with me for the rest of my life. Just some tips for you guys, all right? Communicate to her the value that you find in her, because there's often that she finds she has thought patterns that tell her that she's not valuable. She has thought patterns that tell her she's not pretty. She has thought patterns that tell her these things. She has billboard after billboard after billboard. Oh, I'm sorry, we're getting into tomorrow. That when's the projector going to show up? Because we've got a video we're going to show you. That tell her she's not pretty. And you guys come and you're like, no, I find value in you. I find beauty in you. There's something in you that I want to be with. And so I just have one question. Where did guys learn to do that? Where did we get that, guys?
Dad.
Where did he get that?
His dad.
Where did he get that? The first guy that created an amazing proposal scene, where did he get the idea of create an amazing proposal scene to communicate value?
God.
Uh-huh. Because God began to create, and he created light, and separated light from darkness. He created a world. He put trees on it. He made it beautiful. Like, there's some people that love deserts. I don't know why, but they do. And there's some people, but there's some people's things. So he made deserts. And there's some people that love mountains. I absolutely understand that. And there's lakes, and there's beautiful clear water, and there's streams, and there's all kinds of things. And then there's animals, all kinds, big ones, small ones. Sub as big as your head. Sorry, I had to finish that. All right. Has anybody ever been snorkeling? Oh, man. Okay, guys, honeymoon idea, snorkeling. It's the most amazing thing, because there's literally another creation that you've never witnessed under the water. I cannot express to you, like, how my heart literally just screamed praise to God the first time that I put on a mask and I stuck my head under there and I saw this ecosystem that I had never seen before nor knew of its existence. And I was like, God, I thought I had seen your creation and now I've witnessed another one. One of the most amazing experiences, I was swimming in a school of fish that were brightly colored. Amazing. You need to do it to see how amazing God is, if for nothing else.
Amen.
So all of that. And then and birds. Okay, there's birds in the sky too. He created those. And he created stars. Because he was like, yeah, she's going to love the stars. And not only did he create stars, but he's like, you know, okay, they're pretty and they're sparkly and that's wonderful. And she's going to love that. But I'm even going to go, because I'm God and I'm really extra like that, I'm even going to put meaning in those stars. And I'm going to create them in various ways that's going to create this meaning of the plan that I have for her in the stars. And she can read about it as she gazes at how they're twinkling.
Poetry.
Hmm?
Poetry.
Poetry. Yeah, God created poetry. And he put it in the skies. And then he creates man. And then he stops. Why? Because he had finally gotten to the point of the whole creation. He created man. God literally created the most elaborate proposal scene that can ever be thought possible. And we even know that these things are going to be played at the very end. So he's capturing it on video too. If the unbelievers' actions are going to be played before them, I'm sure somewhere in there, God will have the moment when you recognize that he was on one knee after creating this massive proposal scene, your heart went. He wants me. Brothers and sisters, he wants you. He desires you. And we often, far too often, think negative thoughts about who we are, and it impacts our ability to abound in the faith of Jesus Christ. But the love of God overcomes all of those things. So the Holy Spirit this morning is asking you to start recognizing where your thoughts don't agree with his, and that it is not virtuous to not agree with his thoughts because you're trying to be better than you think you should be and all of these things. That's not virtue. It's not true. The word of God proclaims this about you. You've taken my name. You're worthy. I'll walk with you in white. All of these things, whatsoever things are true. Can we read it together? Maybe out loud together. Philippians chapter 4. I hope this is helping us this morning.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, can we read it together? Are we all there? So, brothers, I want you to read, finally, brothers. Sisters, I want you to read, finally, sisters. Not finally, but finally. Finally, sisters, and finally, brothers, okay? We can read this together. Finally, brothers. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Can we pray? Father, you've exhorted us this morning to have the right kind of thoughts. And you've told us and shown us, Lord, that we have the ability and the agency to impact our own thinking, Lord God, to cast out things that are untrue and to think on things that are true and are good and virtuous. Father, you've also told us of your great love, your plan for us, Lord, that showed us what thoughts we ought to be thinking about ourselves. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us in this area of our own lives as we, Lord, we've had the experience, Lord God. But Lord, as we begin to start doing the things that experience is calling us into, I pray that you'd strengthen us, Lord God, that you'd train us, Lord God. Lord, we know that you're a patient and loving God. So Lord, as we try and fail and try and fail, Lord, I pray that you continue to give us the courage to strengthen ourselves, to stand back up again, and to move on, and to grow, and to strengthen. Oh God, you're good, and we know your word proclaims your great love to us. Lord, your heavens declare the handiwork of God. Lord, we see you, and we see your great plan. Father, may we dwell in it. Lord, help us by your grace and by your strength in our lives to root and ground ourselves in this word and to abound with rejoicing and thanksgiving. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful in the light of his glory. about you this morning.
Amen.
I hope it spoke to your heart. I hope it helped to clean your heart. Thoughts are very powerful. Because thoughts become words. Words become material. You might look that up in the message. Brother Brown talks about it. I think it's in the India Trip Report message. The eternal thoughts of God were spoken one day. And here we are. Because his thoughts were spoken, they became material. It started with thoughts. Thoughts are so powerful. Guard your thoughts. Build your thoughts. Amen. Maybe another song.
As the deer.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are his voice and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all the sea. How great. How great is our God.
He's the name above.
Oh, he's the name.
back tomorrow morning. I kind of gave you a precursor of some of the things that we'll be talking about. It will be challenging, both to the brothers and to the sisters. But it will be the word of God. And it'll be, again, things that we can do to abound in the grace of God. Things that we can do to despise not the small things that God is asking us to do. Because when we are faithful in those little things, we begin to abound and he gives us much, much bigger things. And we begin to go on this joyful, wonderful relationship with him. Abounding in it. I think it's time that we abound. If we're alive in Christ, this is the theme of our camp, I want to be alive and abound. I want it to be, I want my relationship with Christ to be thrilling.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely Amen. Thrilling.
That's right.
Brother Branham says, I think that ought to be the thrill of the church, is to pray until I can feel the presence of God around me. That's thrilling. Amen. God bless you. And I appreciate you all. I appreciate your heart. I don't even know how to dismiss you right now because I just feel like, man, you guys just are like, yes. So I'm going to just turn it over to Brother David. Maybe you can sing another song and maybe you can figure out how to dismiss because I sure can.
Oh, Brother David, why don't you just dismiss us in prayer? That's how these things are done.
All right. Just bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the message that has been delivered this morning. Lord, we ask that you help us to retain it, prepare our hearts for the message tomorrow, Lord. Be with us throughout the rest of this camp day, with all the activities and the services tonight, Father. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you're all dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You stay in worship or you can go.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether. Light of the world. together.